We look today to God's Word as we find it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and today looking in particular at verses 8 and 9 in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is page 1053 in our Pew Bible. God willing, in 2 weeks' time, we hope to have a congregational meeting for the purpose of electing deacons. And today and next Lord's Day, I want to say something about what we have in 1 Timothy 3 about the qualifications or the requirements that God lays down in His Word for those who can serve as deacons within the Church of Christ. Today, I want to look in particular at verses 8 and 9 here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Remind you that last Lord's Day we were considering Acts chapter 6, where there were seven men that were chosen by the people and were ordained by the apostles, and they were told to choose seven men for the task. It was men that were to be chosen. It wasn't just people, it was men to whom that work was to be entrusted. And those men were to be men of good reputation. They were to be men who were full of the Holy Spirit and men who were full of wisdom. And those men, I believe, were the forerunners of the deacons who were appointed in New Testament churches. We saw also that the word deacon is a word that means servant. And that therefore deacons have to be men who are willing to be servants. Men who are willing to help those who are in need. Men who have compassion. Men who can be trusted with finances and trusted with matters of a sensitive nature. So those are some things that we've seen already. And what we have here in 1 Timothy 3 builds upon those things, and there'll be more to consider next Lord's Day. But here in these two verses, in verses 8 and 9, there are five matters that Paul brings to our attention, five things that must be true of those who are to serve as deacons in Christ's church. First word, there in verse 8, Paul says, likewise, deacons must be reverent. Other Bible versions give a different slant on what that means. The New American Standard Bible, it says, deacons must be men of dignity. Similarly, the ESV uses the single word dignified. Deacons must be dignified. NIV has deacons must be men worthy of respect. And though those different words, reverent, dignified, worthy of respect, give a flavor of what Paul means when he says that those who serve as deacons within the church, this is what they must be. So when we look to choose men for this office, we are to consider those that are, to our thinking, men who are worthy of respect, men who are dignified, men who are reverent. That would rule out men who are frivolous, men who set a bad example by the way they live their own lives. We're called upon to look out for those who are worthy of respect, and that's an important general teaching. The same thing is said about men who would serve as elders within the church. They too were to be men who were worthy of respect. And it is essential that we acknowledge that God says that this is the way that things must be. Those who serve as deacons must be men worthy of respect. We're not going to be having an ordination of deacons in the near future. As I said last week, if there are men elected, there will be a time to consider things and a time for testing, a time for men to demonstrate that they're up to what is required here in God's Word. It has been the pattern of session in the past when deacons have been elected that the expectation is that men who would serve as deacons would be regular attenders at worship morning and evening. And that has been our pattern, and I don't see there being any shift from that. Men who aren't presently attenders at morning and evening worship may rise to the occasion, may rise to take on that responsibility and to demonstrate that commitment to the Church of Christ. And there's the opportunity for that. But the Word of God tells us that those who are to serve as deacons must be men that are thoroughly respected, men who are seen as reverent. That's the first term of the five that's used. The second requirement here, also in verse 8, is that deacons must not be double-tongued. That is a phrase that refers to sincerity of speech. Deacons must be men who are sincere in the words that they use. They're not to be double-tongued. They're not to be men who would say one thing if they were speaking to one person, but might say something completely different if they were speaking to someone else. Their words need to be reliable. They must have a spirit of sincerity, no sense of being men who say whatever they think people want to hear. A deacon then must be a man who says one thing in one situation, and he'll say the same thing in quite a different situation. And that's important in the work that deacons will do within the church. For example, the deacons make their decisions normally in the context of a meeting of the board of deacons. And the men who serve as deacons will meet, and they will discuss different matters at each meeting. Whenever the item is introduced for the first time, there might be three or four different ideas as to the best way forward, and men may not always see eye to eye on what to them would seem to be the best way of doing something. Sometimes you can have a situation where someone is in a minority, and the majority viewpoint will prevail. Now, the danger is, in a situation like that, a double-tongued man would be someone who would go away and who would talk about that decision in an unhealthy way. And with someone who saw things the way he saw things, he might say one thing, and with someone who saw things the way the other deacon saw things, he might say something different. And that's not the way it is to be. There's a strength of character that is needed for men who would serve as deacons. They must not be men who seek popularity by the way they use their words, and they have to be willing to support whatever is decided by the body of men who serve as deacons. In the life of the church, sometimes you have to be willing to support something which wasn't your idea, which wasn't what you saw as the best way of doing it, but you have to support it as if it was your idea. And look for all the good things that you can find in what led other men to think this is the way forward, and give yourself to that. And deacons need to be that. You cannot be double-tongued, where you say one thing in one place and another in another place. The third point that's made in these two verses is that deacons must be men who are not given to much wine. Not given to much wine. It doesn't say that a deacon must be a man who will never ever drink any wine. The words in the scriptures are all chosen carefully, and this is the way that God chose to put it. A deacon must not be given to much wine. A deacon must be a sober man. And it doesn't take too much thought, I think, to consider why that would be important in the work that deacons do within Christ's church. People will not respect men who are not seen as sober men. But the man who is given to too much wine is a man who loses his self-control. A man under the influence of wine or other strong drink is a man who is liable to do foolish and regrettable things. When a man takes on board too much wine, he can be tempted in ways in which he would not be tempted otherwise. If you have a situation where a deacon has access to church funds, and if it's someone who becomes addicted to alcohol, well, then the temptation is that those church funds can be used to fund the addiction. Another big issue is that a person who is given to much wine is a person who loses control of their tongue. When people have drunk too much, they say things that they would not normally say. And for a deacon to be in that situation, that would be a bad thing. He would be liable to reveal things that he should not reveal, things of a sensitive nature, or things could be misrepresented. And so it is necessary that deacons must not be men who are given to much wine. There's to be a commendable sobriety, a trustworthiness in this area of life. Something else then, the fourth thing that's mentioned, is something else that a deacon must not be, and it is that he must not be greedy for money. ESV has not greedy for dishonest gain. And those words are words that are appropriate in particular for anyone who might be in the position of serving as a deacon who has responsibilities for handling church funds. A deacon should not be the kind of person who could get into such a position in order to pursue their own gain. A deacon must not be the kind of man that you could ever imagine misappropriating church funds. Now, we think of the Lord and his apostles, and you remember that Judas Iscariot was one of the 12, and he was the one who was entrusted with the small amount of money that was there among the apostles. And that was a trust that he betrayed. He was a man who was greedy for dishonest gain. John 12, verses 5 and 6, Judas says, in response to an incident, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And John says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Judas didn't have a compassionate heart for the poor. The money that he saw coming in, he saw that he could make use of that for himself. And of course, Judas was not the last to ever fall into that trap. Over the years, there have been many stories, some close to home, where church funds have been used for personal purposes rather than for the Lord's work. And deacons do have responsibility in regard to church funds, and they must not be men who are greedy for money, greedy for dishonest gain. Deacons are not to behave like some politicians behave, who exploit their positions to gain advantages for themselves, to gain privileges for themselves, whether it's the lavish decoration of their London properties, whether it's holidays abroad at the expense of others, or whether it's inflated expenses claims. Deacons must be men who remember that this money is not our money, that this is the Lord's money. And there's nothing that destroys generosity among givers more than an uncertainty as to how that money will be handled. Deacons need to be men who are not given to dishonest gain. Deacons must be men of principle who will not seek to gain church funds in whatever way funds for the church can be gained. All gains need to be legitimate gains. It is possible for churches to get money from the National Lottery Heritage Fund. You can get money from the National Lottery for repairs to church buildings and for different things like that. But our churches have not resorted to that. And we will not resort to gaining money by things that are associated with gambling, whether it's raffles or lucky draws or whatever it might be. Only those means that are clearly honest and free from gambling associations are to be used in the gathering of funds for the work of Christ's church. No dishonest gain. No dodgy dealings. We look to God to provide. It is His church. The cattle on a thousand hills are His, and He knows how to provide. We don't need to be devious in order to get what's needed for the Lord's church to continue. Deacons have to be men not given to dishonest gain. But in regard to money, deacons, of course, have to be men who are willing to spend money. And in the Jerusalem church, there was money there, and every day it was being spent to provide food for those who were genuinely needy. And so deacons have to be willing to spend the money that is there. Church organizations shouldn't have to operate on a shoestring budget if there are funds available within the church to be used. It's wrong for churches to hoard money in accounts when that money could be used for actual ministries to needy people. We're told in the scriptures that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and deacons need to be cheerful givers, need to be men who see it as a good thing to be able to help this missionary organization and this good work that's going on locally, and particular needs that come up in different places at different times. We're not to see, no, this is our money and nobody else is going to get it. The deacons in the church are to be men who are generous. The seven men who were appointed in Jerusalem, they were to distribute the money. It wasn't to be sitting around unused. It was to be used for the very needy widows that were there at that time. And so deacons are to be men who are not greedy for money, but they're willing to spend the money that Christ's cause may advance. Men who are eager to share what the Lord has provided. And then the fifth thing here in these two verses, it's in verse 9. Deacons are to be men found holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. There are several places in the New Testament where the gospel is described as a mystery. And that's a word that has quite a specific meaning. It refers to something that was once hidden, but now it has been revealed. It has been revealed to those whose eyes God has opened. And for believers, the gospel is a mystery. It was something that was hidden from us, but God opened our eyes, and now we see it, and we delight in it. For Christians, the gospel is a mystery that has been revealed. For unbelievers, it's a mystery that is still hidden. They just cannot see it. Only God can give the eyes to see how great the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And Paul says that deacons must be men who don't just know the gospel, but who hold to the gospel tenaciously, and who do so with a pure conscience. They must hold with a firm grasp the mystery of the faith, hold to the Christian faith, and do so with a pure conscience. In the Christian church these days, there are often members of churches who have professed in the past to be Christians, and yet the evidence today for that Christian faith can be very, very slim. If a new regime were to come into power and they were going to put in prison all of those who demonstrate a faith in Christ, well then, there are those who are members in churches that might not be imprisoned at all because there isn't much evidence to convict them. Well, those are not the kind of men that would be appropriate to serve as deacons. Deacons must be men who hold to the faith firmly and with a pure conscience. Deacons must be gospel men. They must be men who know the Lord, who love the Lord. They know themselves to be saved. They're not to be men who have doubts about the gospel, not sure of whether this is really true, not really sure about where they stand themselves. They're clear about their own standing, and they're clear about the gospel being a precious thing. So here in these couple of verses, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have five more scriptural requirements for those who would serve as deacons among us. And these are God's requirements. If at the end of the day there are no men that are willing to step up to meeting these requirements, well then, for us to go ahead and ordain deacons would be to say that deacons don't have to be these things. God says they must be, and therefore if we as elders are to honor Christ, well then we have to go with what God says. We cannot rebel and do our own thing because of a need that we see. That would be the same as using unlawful means to gain funds. We have to trust in God to raise up the men that will be what it says they must be. But I asked you to consider that the requirements that are laid down here for men who would serve as deacons, they're not so way high up there that no man could possibly fulfill these criteria. The requirements for deacons aren't as stringent and as demanding as those that come earlier in this same chapter for elders. Surely the things that are here are really things that should be present in all Christian men. Surely if we profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, well then we should be people who are reverent or worthy of respect. Surely we should be people who speak sincerely with a single tongue, not a double tongue. Surely it is the case that as Christians, we should not be those who are open to being accused of the sin of drunkenness. Surely we should be, as Christians, those who handle money well and wisely, honestly and generously. And surely if we're Christians, we should all be those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and do so with a pure conscience. And so if you're thinking that, well, I wouldn't really be suitable to be a deacon, well, why is that? Why would that be the case? Is that not indicating that there is something that is fundamentally wrong with your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're ruling yourself out as a deacon, well then maybe you need to examine as to whether you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ. You do not have to be an exceptional Christian to serve as a deacon within Christ's church. You just need to be a genuine, reliable Christian. One who is seeking to set a consistent, good example in all things. And if the Church of Christ was full of men like that, what a blessing that would be. And how easy it would be for us to find men who could serve in all the different roles that are required in Christ's church. Here God tells us in his word what deacons must be. And these are good things. These are good things to aspire to, good things to seek to be true of yourself for men who are Christians. And the same things, of course, are true for women, even though being ordained deacons is not something that is open to women within our church. So let us remember these words in 1 Timothy 3 and add those into our thinking from what we had from Acts chapter 6, and use these things that God may help us in seeking to choose men to serve as deacons here in this church. Amen. Now we're going to sing to his praise.